With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore, and really pleased now to be joined by the Linfield High School hockey coach, John Gardner. John and his brother Jay, good friends of MSO over the years, and have helped us out enormously. And John, welcome back to MSO. I'm looking at your schedule, but first, your record, man. Almost halfway through the season, you've got to be very pleased with where you are.
Yeah, I didn't see this coming. I mean, we knew we had a lot returning, and but just to be sitting on unblemished, we didn't see that coming, so we're just going to keep it going.
Well, you know, I want to go back to your last two games. It's been a while since we've talked with you, and you know, Gloucester is a good rivalry. They've lost a lot of their firepower in the last year, but still, they're a tough team. You played them tough, and then you had to go to Newburyport, and that's always a drudge, you know, up at the Graph, and you did well against those guys. So tell me about maybe the last two or three games.
Yeah, we had those two games back-to-back circled, kind of battle-tested games. like we talked before the Gloucester game, we hadn't beaten them in almost 5 years. So that's a testament to them and their program and how Derek runs stuff. So it was just as we expected, a close, hard-fought game back and forth. But our guys were able to kind of make a couple more plays than the fishermen, so that was a long overdue one, and glad to finally get that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then Newburyport. Obviously, you said we've been calling the Graph Arena a house of horrors for years and years. Spoke to some alumni before, former player coach Bob Sparks, and he was like, "That's a snake pit up there." So, we somehow, you know, made the Graph sweep last year with Newburyport and Triton somehow, first time ever for us. And then to go down there knowing that Newburyport will be motivated, you know, since we won the Cal last year, and I know they always want to have a say in that. So we knew they'd be motivated, and our guys had kind of a what we called a big boy win, you know, good team victory mm-hmm. up at the Graph to shut them out.
Well, you mentioned Triton. I want to get to that later on. But first, John, I want to ask you about the style of play of your guys, trying to get, you know, as we approach the midway point in the season, who are your guys, maybe, if you have a line that's considered your first line or your solid line, who are those guys and how do they play together?
Yeah, so that's been kind of a fluid thing, and it usually is the first, you know, quarter of the season or so. Last year we didn't get that our version of the perfection line till like game 6-7, and then they just stayed together and lit it up. So this year it's been the two constants, the kind of Scotty Bowman pair kind of theory has been Joe Rafa centering Jack Carpenter. So both of them can scoot. Both of them are not only fast breakaway speed but quick. Mm-hmm. And we've due to injury haven't been able to get the guy that I wanted with them. So we finally were able to do that actually against Gloucester. The Jarrett Scopatulo's a long, fast, dynamic, explosive kind of winger, mm-hmm. and he broke his thumb, so he was back, and he kind of gets in on pucks and forechecks hard. Like I said, he's got a lot of a big reach, mm-hmm. so it's one of the fastest lines I would venture to guess in the state. So those guys are just speed, you know, speed kills. So they
absolutely
kind of there. That's kind of their weapon.
You mentioned a Scotty Bowman line. I'm lost. I know Scotty Bowman coached the Canadiens for a while, but explain that to me.
Oh, so Scotty was big into pairs as opposed to lines.
Ah.
Like, as long as you have these two. So we kind of go into that mentality. And these two are married for now.
Okay.
They're inseparable. And then you kind of try and get it, you know, if it's a center and a wing, what does the other winger do? If one of the wingers is a buzzsaw, does the other one provide space by size and physicality, or do you just stack them with all speed? So mm-hmm. kind of, as long as you have that constant of the pairs throughout your lines, you can kind of play with the formula.
John, when you get my age, you think you know everything, and then you realize you don't know nothing. So thanks for pointing that out.
I'm reminded of that constantly, too.
Jeez. Okay. And you know, along the same vein, what about your defensive anchors, I guess I would say? Because usually in a high school, there's one or two guys above the rest that you really have to rely on for more ice time than the others.
Yeah, so our two workhorses, obviously, are Drew Demiani.
Mm-hmm.
And then the captains, and then Lucas Cook, and they're two very different, like, stature. Lucas is like 6'2", you know, getting around that 190, and he's, you know, long and physical.
Wow.
And plays a real hard game. Drew's more dynamic, you know, thinks the game, you know, a step ahead of everyone, and he could skate, so that's kind of almost, you know, almost cheating for him. So he logs a lot of minutes. He's north of 30 almost every game.
Yep.
And Lucas as well. But the good news is we're pretty deep. We have a solid, you know, core of D, even right down to our sixth pair in the program, like 12 solid D we could put out there. So even at the graph last night, we got seven out there, and, you know, Drew and Lucas and Aiden, Norton's a sophomore. He's kind of maturing right in front of our eyes, and we kind of knew that was coming. Him and his twin brother Will, who's the one of our top six forwards, left wing.
Mm-hmm.
So those guys get big minutes, but we're able to put a lot of guys out there and trust in that they know what they're doing, and they're a part of the system.
That's cool. I notice. I'm guessing this Marenghi kid is sort of waiting in the wings, but another Marenghi coming up through Linfield?
Yeah, so we have Jack Marenghi, who's a junior center on the varsity, and Michael is the freshman, currently backup goalie, because Dan McSweeney's been just, you know, just lights out for us. But Michael's a very, it gives you some comfort knowing that he's athletic, he's got some explosive ability to him, and my brother Jay's, you know, working with him day in and day out about getting bigger and making those first saves and, you know, getting both those guys going.
Yeah, eating well is so important, isn't it?
Yeah.
Eating and sleeping. Coach, I want to ask you, I mean, it looks like the last, honest to God, the last three wins have been really big for you guys, and you have stressed, you know, defense all year. The offense, I don't want to say it's minimal. It's working. What do you want to improve on at the moment?
Yeah, so we always talk about going in the year. You know, the numbers don't lie, but sometimes they can be deceiving. But you kind of want to shoot for a 4-2 split, you know, scoring about four goals a game, giving up on average two or fewer.
Mm-hmm.
So we're exceeding that in the goals against. We're at like a 1-1-2.
Mm-hmm.
Good team defense, and then McSweeney, as I mentioned, has been just lights out. And then the offense has been kind of not, and we kind of expected it. You know, we have guys playing in different roles. We had guys injured. Power play still a work in progress. We scored six power play goals, one in each game in the first six, and it wasn't passing the eyeball test with some new personnel. Drew obviously is the top of it and runs the whole thing. But even though we're scoring goals, it doesn't pass the sniff test and eyeball test. So we're working on that. And then we got a good skating team, so we just got to get our transition going better. Like we don't get enough odd man rushes, and then when we do, we don't convert. So just this is all kind of growing pains. Beginning of the year, now that we got some guys back from injury and in the right spots, I think we're primed to kind of start to take off in the offensive category.
John, you know, you don't have a lot of snipers in high school hockey very often. Who can, you know, really blast it from anywhere on the ice and pick a point. So goals are scored oftentimes, you know, off of rebounds and so on. Is that something that the kids, I don't even know how to ask the question, John, but it's important to be in and around the net sometimes on offense, but then you have to worry about coming back on defense. How does that work? Because you want to try to get the easy goal, I guess, you know, on rebounds.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that has to be, you know, emphasized constantly and reminded constantly. It's not just a power play net front presence. It's got to be there, 5-on-5. Guys, you know, everyone uses the dirty area term, but the bottom line is if you can make a living with your back to the goalie and score a lot of goals. We're big into our forecheck and getting it low to high, and then the, you know, screens, tips, rebounds. So you just have to remind guys, because we do it in practice constantly. We'll have our goalies, Jay will stop practice and be like, when we're doing shooting drills and emphasizing screen, and they think they're screening the goalie, and they're not. And there's an art form to it. I mean, years ago they changed the NHL rules when Sean Avery was literally turning around and looking at the goalie and moving with his eyes,
mm-hmm.
so blocking him,
shielding him. Yeah.
What happens is if you have your back to the goalie, you just got to kind of come up with an art form of like you may be screening him that second. But when the shot's off, the goalie's going to adjust and move, so you got to move too, or be kind of a statue, and then when the shot comes, move. The goalie gets comfortable with his head in a specific position, and then you move, and then he loses sight of the puck. So a lot of guys, we joke in practice, they look like they're doing a photo op with a goalie, like arm around the goalie so he can see the puck, you know, smile for the camera. So we're on our guys constantly about, you think you're screening, and the goalies, our goalies in practice will tell you, no, I saw that. We're big on that.
Okay, well, you got Jay straightened them on that one. Do you guys do a lot of scrimmages in practice? You do a lot of game situations?
Of course, we do, you know, different tiered or progressive drills that'll have certain rules, and then we'll kind of take the governor off and then kind of get closer to five-on-five hockey or certain parameters that they got to follow just to go. I mean, the Canadians love playing, you know, doing their scrimmages, that's it, and less drills, less X and O's. We kind of, depending on how the team's playing, I mentioned we have a deep program, so we'll get some inter-program skates where we can have, you know, three lines aside, 10D aside, 5D aside, and have pretty good battles. So, you know, you're always, as the week progresses, you kind of staple drills at the beginning of the week, and then as you get closer to an opponent, you kind of have some X's and O's system, you know, drills that you go, and then by the end of the you know, whether it's a Tuesday night practice or a Friday practice before a game, pregame skate, you kind of have some staple drills that you go through.
This is a question from left field coach, and I don't know if I should even ask it or not, but you have, and all the coaches I've talked to, even guys like Mark Leonard, who've been around for 100 years, and guys like that, you have so much enthusiasm and energy for the game. And I got to ask you, Coach, where does that come from?
Great question. I'm glad you asked. You know, hockey's been a love of mine since I was 6 years old. Me and Jay were actually kind of, when we were younger, big, tall guys and kind of growing our bodies, we stunk. We were called the bomb squad when we were out there, just going, exploding around.
Good, bad.
But it just kind of, the hockey bug got us at an early age. We love it. Playing at Linfield High for Drew Taylor, you know, kind of fanned the flame of that passion. And then it's been, you know, it's been hockey ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the program gave so much to us. So for us to be able to give back that same experience that we had, it's just, you know, makes our, if you want to call it a job, easy. But it's like, me and Jay talked about it today when he sent me an article about the Bedard kid in Canada, and they interviewed his parents and talked about, sometimes the word can be a negative connotation, but obsessive. And I like to use the phrase just fanatical about things. Me and Jay in season, we can't shut it off. Both our wives know it. They're hockey widows.
Yeah.
At least 3 months. And we just, you know, even when I'm in the room, I'm not there just because I'm thinking about the team.
Well, it's not just in season. And the thing of it is, it's infectious. It's contagious. And it's great. That's a positive energy for sports. And the idea is to see these kids smile. And I'm sure in most situations, you do see them smile. And you see the parents smile.
For sure, and what's funny about that is it winning's fun, but even when we were our first year and we won two games, we try and make it fun. Me and Jay together, you're getting a double dose of us, you know, you know, poke fun at each other, you know, take a step back, and it's not always about the winning. You know, we're fierce competitors. We try and, like you said, it's contagious, the being passionate and being competitive with that and appreciating the game and your teammates. So it's good to see it. You know, this little run we're on recently, it's been a slow ascent, and it's just nice to get kind of validated and rewarded.
I want to ask you about that. It's solid because the games are close, and I'm going to ask you about, it seems like a crazy term to use for high school kids, but mental toughness or discipline?
That is literally the fifth pillar for our bedrock, our foundation, our character that everyone talks about. But we've always had you know, work ethic, selflessness, passion and pride as our four pillars. And then I'd say about 3 years ago, just talking about being even keeled, talking about being resilient, and we use kind of words every year to reinforce our character bedrock, but we added a fifth pillar with mental toughness. So our guys, you know, it's easy to you know, we've scored first six out of the seven games this year. and haven't trailed by more than one goal. But it's kind of like shining a light on, like, what are you going to do when things aren't going well, and you don't have your A game, and how are you guys going to react? And it's easy to say it in the locker room, say it in the meeting room, but, you know, we talked the other day about, you know, your actions on the ice, you know, the stuff that you say in the locker room pales in comparison to the stuff that you do on the ice. So our guys just got to show that, you know, when things aren't going good, you got to keep, you know, not just lip service, you got to be genuine, you got to, you know, have the goods to back it up. So our guys have definitely been doing that this year.
Well, the great thing about that, Coach, is that translates to life,
for sure.
Academically and personally and so on. So that's a great thing. All right, Coach, I've kept you long enough. Tell me, now you're off this weekend, is that correct?
Yes, it's one of those rare, you know, because next week we play on MLK Day, so we're going Wednesday, Saturday, Monday, and we also did the Christmas tournament, which was a Monday, Tuesday, so this is just one of those randoms where our JV gets to play two tilts, one on Saturday at noon against Masco, so that's huge for the program to get that nice matinee Saturday game, and then we'll get back at it next week. We're playing our rival on Wednesday. We're hoping that me and Jay have a chance to, and the program's got a chance to get to 100 wins for us, which,
whoa,
like I said, a long ascent, and then at the same time, Drew Dimiani's 3 points away from 100 for a defenseman, which is,
oh my goodness! All right, so that's the North Reading game.
That's North Reading next Wednesday. Yeah.
All right, I didn't know that. Geez, John, that's awesome! Oh goodness gracious!
To get 100 at the same game would be amazing.
Wouldn't that be something?
I'm not trying to get bulletin board material for the Hornets. They don't need it.
No, I understand that. I understand that. And finally, Coach, last question. Who do you see as your biggest rival in the Cal right now?
Right now, it's definitely the team we played last night. You know, we've had some close games with them. Last year, we beat them 2-1 on a Friday night before the snowstorm came in. And then last night's game was, you know, anybody's game, up and down. And so they're definitely our top rival right now, and they gave us the biggest push last year. Triton's always there, those both teams in the graph. And then again, North Reading got us last year, that whole rivalry game. It's the same thing when Triton plays Newburyport. That's going to be a battle. So, I mean, but Newburyport definitely is the team we're trying to fend off the most.
You just can't let up, can you?
No. Never.
All right. Hey, say hi to your brother for me, man, and we'll talk next week, I hope. Thank you so much, John, for taking the time. I appreciate it. And congratulations for such a great start.
Thanks, pal. Appreciate it.
Talk to you later, Coach.
All right. See you.
That is Linfield High School hockey coach John Gardner with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.